You're looking good.
Yeah. I'm pretty slow.
Pretty slow. Welcome to the crowd.
Yeah.
Father, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us together today. Everyone that's here, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters that are not here right now. I ask you to have your hand on them and protect them. Father, I ask for your spirit to be in them, whatever they are, that your light will shine on them and whoever is surrounding them. Father, I ask you to just have a blessing on whoever's next to them. Father, and that your spirit and your word will be witnessed around them, Father. I pray for a blessing on the ones that are not here also, Father, that they have a blessed time. Just bless them, Father. I ask you to bless this service. I ask you to bless us, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you for all the good things that you've done in us. Thank you for last week that we are all here and how we had a blessed week. Father, I ask you to bless this service, to bless the coming week, Father, and that you be with us, and that your spirit and your light and your strength and your truth be with us, and that your light shines in us, and that we can be and whoever you want us to be, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, last Wednesday night, I asked the fellows that were there if they would pray with me to get some sleep. And because without any help from any medicine or anything. And so they did. They prayed that I'd get a good night's sleep. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake, and from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock, I was in the Holy Spirit University, and one of the most profound evenings that I've ever had. Now, the scripture up behind me says, God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. You want the truth? You want to come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, there is one thing that separates the ones without the knowledge of the truth from those that do have it. And what it is the intake of the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth, the knowledge of the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, I have been plagued. Now, that's not really the right word, but I have been consumed with an area for a long, long time. And I brought it up, and we've had some discussions on it. And just like the rest of the church, we haven't done real well in this thing. And I got a teaching situation last Wednesday night. And I said, I have asked, exactly what is the relationship between the spirit of man and the soul of man and the flesh? And because we don't see that the spirit is going to go to hell. But we see that the soul is either going to go to heaven or going to go to hell. So what is the relationship? Isn't the flesh to blame, or isn't the spirit to blame, or isn't something else to blame? Why is the soul the one that's in the middle of this thing? And there's a scripture, you know, we know that we have a spirit. God gave us a spirit. He breathed into us a breath of life, and he gave us a spirit. And Wednesday night, I went through something, and I began to understand the makeup of the human spirit, which is not easy to, that's not that easy to do, but it is just as almost like an immature part of us. You know, the Bible tells us that the angels have desire to look into the things of salvation. Why? Because they don't know. The devil doesn't really know, understand what God has in mind. None of the angels do. As a matter of fact, we were created above the angels. It says below the angels for the suffering of death, but as far as we are created above the angels. Men will judge angels, the Bible says. And all, there's a scripture that, and this has confused me before. It says, are not all angels ministering spirits set forth to minister to the heirs of salvation? Man is God's creative masterpiece. I mean, that isn't something for us to get proud over, but we are the masterpiece of God. And God has given us a flesh covering, and he's also given us a spirit substance that exists inside of, you know, along with the soul and the flesh. And so, you know, we have looked at a lot of scriptures. I'm going to do the best I can with this, but where the scripture that says that the spirits are subject to the prophets. Well, let me read you something. Oh, maybe I'm here. I'm at the right. No, I'm not. Okay, it's in, well, the first one is in 1 Corinthians 14:32, and it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And okay, back in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. That's an easy verse to remember. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Who's talking? The flesh? The spirit? Or the soul? The soul is the one that's responsible. That's who I am. My soul is responsible. I can either go the way of the flesh or I can go the way of the spirit. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? My spirit is subject to me. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. What if the spirit don't want to sing? What if the spirit doesn't want to pray? This is part of my education experience last Wednesday night. I have the authority to do it. I can pray with my spirit. I will pray with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding. Because the part of me that says I will is a part that is responsible and will either go to heaven or hell. The spirit that is in man is not an educated thing. It is not the Holy Spirit. It does not have the understanding of the Holy Spirit. God gave it to us, our spirit, to help us to gain the understanding of the Holy Spirit. That is why we have a spirit. You know how many people understand that? Not very many. I'll tell you what bothered me. The thing that bothered me was, it appears to me that Paul and Peter and James and John and they had a pretty good hold of this thing. Why am I so ignorant? Why does Paul keep talking about it? You know, he says, my spirit will go with you. And some of the things that he was saying, I'm thinking, there's got to be some relationship with the Spirit that we don't understand. And we don't understand. The angels didn't even understand. The devil doesn't understand. And I'm not even so sure that Jesus, even at this point, although I don't know that, understands all the things that there are. Because I think God is so supreme. You know what? When it says that in 1 Corinthians 15, it says at the end that Jesus is going to turn the kingdom, everything back over to the Father, that God might be all in all. I don't think there's any point at any time, ever, that any being of any kind can be or is equal to the power of God. Are you following what I'm saying or not? And so, anyway, what part does our humans, you know, the spirit man play? A vital, vital thing that people totally ignore. Without that spirit that God gave me, I will never understand the things of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. My soul is not equipped to do it. It requires that spirit that God gave me in order to give me. So when the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, we say, we'll walk in the Holy Spirit. You're going to walk in the Holy Spirit without your spirit? It's a combination. We need our spirit to walk in the Spirit. And when Jesus said in John chapter 4, he says that hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. We're talking about coming to a place where we willingly, you know, I will worship the Father in my spirit. My voice has given me a difficulty here, but this is a whole area, a whole thing that is so foreign to the church. It was so foreign to me. But you know what? I want to know. And I had an unbelievable experience on Wednesday night, or, you know, several hours in the middle of the night. And I was presented with, I said, what is this thing? We have a spirit. You breathe into us a spirit. If we have the spirit, why do we need the Holy Spirit? What can we learn from the Holy Spirit that we don't already have from this spirit? The human spirit, or the spirit of man, is an immature thing, as immature as we are. This is a confusion thing, I'm sure, but anyway, I can't possibly give a Bible study or anything on what happened to me on Wednesday night, or early Thursday morning. But and let me read a couple of scriptures. First Peter 1:12 says, oh no, that wasn't it. It's First Peter 3:22. It talked about Jesus. It says, this is still isn't the right scripture, but well, anyway, if you have a comment, have something, come on up. Understand, but I know that we none of us do.
First Corinthians chapter 2. I think that's where you were at. It says, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I come to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And it goes on to keep saying about the Spirit. Let's see. We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God disdained for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him.
Amen.
These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by humans' wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
God bless you. That was an area that I wanted to get into.
That the whole passage there has always been, I don't want to say my favorite, but like my favorite. Like, I just always liked it, but it just now became my super, super favorite. Not favorite, but I just, all of a sudden, I don't want to say favorite, but I said like I really can really, really want it. It just,
yes.
That passage just became something else, something greater than how great it was in the past. It just became greater. Yeah.
Well, again, Barbara, you hit right on into the area, one of the major parts of what I wanted to bring this morning. Let me go back and find it. Take me a little bit of time here, but way back in 1 Corinthians 1:11. I don't know if that's where Barb started, but
chapter 2.
Pardon?
Chapter 2.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2.
For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Okay, so he knows the things of men, but he doesn't know the things of God. He has to be taught just like we do. And this is what I begin to understand in the middle of the night. The spirit of man that is in us is taught right along with the soul. The only thing is, the spirit that is in us has the ability to interpret it for the soul. The soul cannot pick it up. And the flesh definitely does not understand. Yes, the spirit that is in man knows everything about man. My spirit could tell you everything about me. But he can't tell you everything about God. But my ability, I can't take the words of God that are spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. I can't interpret those without that spirit. And that's the understanding that I got in the middle of the night last, whenever it was. God gave me that spirit to help interpret what he is, what he means in the spirit. I have no ability to do it on my own. God gifted me with a spirit. But that spirit has the ability to help me almost learn as I learn. Without that spirit, I would never. I would be hung up on the natural and the letter and the carnal. There's not anything in me that can do it without that spirit. So that's why God gave us one. I can't understand spiritual things. My soul has been taught of the flesh since I was a baby. In the spirit, I am thinking that when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we are baptized by that spirit is baptized and the soul is baptized. I don't see any reason that the flesh should be. I think the flesh reacts to it, maybe, you know, or whatever. But I think that the spirit that is in us is also immersed in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, begins to teach us. But he can't teach us without that Spirit being right there to help interpret and bring it to us. I'm not doing a real good job, but this is what I went through last Wednesday night. And I woke up in the morning and I thought, it's like my eyes were starting to open up. I thought, of course, that explains something. That explains why we have a spirit, why God has given us one. But it was like, and I don't know, it's like the first thing that I heard, the first thing that I saw in this thing was that this spirit is like a baby, an immature, almost ignorant. Because it hasn't had, we have never given it access. When we're little, you know, it doesn't get access to spiritual things. And then we get born again. What gets born again? Or born of the Spirit? Or are we talking about being born of that Spirit inside of us until life begins to come into it, until it begins to mature into something that can help me? But that's what I saw, a helper that... You know, that God has given to us to allow us to interpret spiritual things. The words that I speak, they're spirit and life. Because they're from the spirit being who is God. And so, anyway, no man knows the things of man except the spirit of man. No man knows the things of God except the spirit of God. And whosoever God will reveal it. But the point is, my soul is not capable of interpreting it. That spirit is given to me for the purpose of helping me. It's a helper.
God created all things, in the air, land, and sea. But only man did he breathe the life into him. Some Bibles say the spirit of life, some say the spirit. But only God breathed into man that gave him a spirit. Now, I wasn't at last Wednesday's meeting, but I know that would probably be the third Wednesday that was talked about the spirit of man. And I don't remember when we started this, it was quite a question, is there a spirit of man? And yeah, I believe there was and always will. I made the comment that if man did not have a spirit, how could man, well, only a spirit can associate with another spirit. The flesh cannot associate with a spirit. And that's why I believe when we first started this conversation, that man did have a spirit, because only a spirit can associate with another spirit. You know.
I heard a setting of scripture in John. Jesus said, "My Father is in me, and I am in him." And I thought, so that doesn't leave much of you left. Good place to be. Mm-hmm. If my Father was in me and I was in him, there wouldn't be hardly anything of me. I mean, if I was fully, there wouldn't be any. Which is good, because we get in trouble when we are we. I don't know if that seems right or not, but it's like what I've been a little concerned about in all of our discussions is well, I don't know if that's what's trying to be said or not for sure by everyone, but I mean, the fact that I believe I have a spirit and a soul. I know my soul reasons and thinks and whatever, you know, it's kind of who I am, good or bad. But I think, I don't know. Does the soul control the spirit? Do you decide to be in the spirit with your soul or what? So, you know, so when I was reading, I was not trying to figure anything out. I wasn't really trying to research. I just started reading through some of the books to hear what was said. And kind of where I got to at the time was, well, whatever my spirit is, I still need it to be subject to God. I need it to be completely, in the end, given completely over to the Lord. That if I want to be spiritual, because God is spirit, He is truth, He is everything. So if my spirit's going to be anything good, it has to come from God. I mean, because He is good, He's everything, you know? And so I don't want to get to the place where I think my spirit can start thinking things necessarily. I don't know if you're getting the drift of this. I want it to be subject to the Spirit of God always, if possible. Now, it's not at this point because of me, you know. You know, in Galatians, and I was reading in Galatians, and I know the thing that we quoted the other night was, says, how can you, where is the one where if you walk, oh yeah, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's in chapter 5. In chapter 3, he goes, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So then I kept reading, and I never really saw any other setting of spirit till you get into where it talks about the bondwoman and the woman. And so I don't know what to think about that scripture. Walk in the Spirit, because the only reference to spirit in between what I just read in 3 and there, it comes from God. You know? So, I don't know. So to me, it seemed like, well, the Spirit I'm walking is the one that was given to me from God, His Holy Spirit. But that's up, you know, we're still really babes in this, so, you know, anything's open. And then, you know, when you were reading in 1 Corinthians 14, I read a little farther, and then I had a question. And I'm going to start back in verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion? Then I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now here's the next verse. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? If he doesn't understand what you say, what spirit are you praying in? Do you see there? There's a little contradiction, sort of. Because we're kind of assuming in 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, which is partly true. I mean, you have to make a decision to pray in the, you know, in the spirit, in tongues. So it looks like to me, from 16, that you're praying in the spirit of tongues. Right? So then it's not your spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm just throwing that out there only because I happened to read 16 and I thought, well, how come they can't understand me then? Because I'm not praying with the understanding. I'm not praying in the language they can understand. So that's just something to think about. And I've kind of come to the fact that at this point, and I believe that's true what Keith is saying, that the Holy Spirit ministers to our spirit, and that's what gives us, you know, truth and understanding and whatnot. But I guess whatever my spirit's going to be, I want it supplied by God. And I want it controlled by the Spirit of God. You know? I want it to be His will, not mine, whether it be my spirit, soul, or flesh. You know? And that's just where I want to be right now because I feel safe with that conclusion at this point. So I don't know if that helps at all or not.
God bless you, Kim. I have been trying to get an understanding of this. I'm not trying to be objective. I'm not trying to be way off in left field someplace. And some of what I might say may be off in left field. I don't know. Let me read the scripture. I think it's in Romans 6:8. Can't get the pages to separate. They won't do it. It says, no, that's not it. Maybe it's Romans 8:6. That's not it either. It says, so, anyway, I'll quote it. It says, sow to the flesh, and you will of the flesh reap corruption. And then it says, sow to the spirit, and you will reap eternal life by the spirit. Well, the question is, explain sowing. How do you sow? If you sow to the flesh, what do you do to the flesh? And now we say, well, you know, what, and my thing was, exactly how do you sow to the Holy Spirit? Because you're sowing something, you know, if you sow to the flesh, you're sowing something that's evil. Or you're allowing it to have something evil, doing something evil, which brings about corruption. But if you sow to the spirit part of you, instead, you will of the spirit reap eternal life.
Yeah, makes sense.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so, there's a spirit side of us that most of the people of the churches can't separate the soul from the spirit. It's like they're one and the same. As a matter of fact, I had a problem with that for years until I started listening to the scriptures. And then I saw there's a separation. God has given us a spirit for a reason. And that's the reason I have been asking, Lord, what is it? What is this thing? There's something missing. I want to know. Explain it to me. Something. And there's no way that I can, I'm kind of talking, like a wild man as it is, because I know there's something here, and I'm not even positive that I got it. But it's like our spirit is a vital part of our system that God has given to us so that we can understand the truth. And without it, without the spirit of man that is in us, we can't do it. God won't give it to us without it. It's like we have to go through that spirit. God has provided it for that reason. Is that important? I say that it is. Do I have the right understanding of the thing? Maybe not. But I tell you one thing about me. I want the truth. I want the truth. What part does this spirit of man play? It is mentioned so many times that it's like, and then what happens, walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Holy Spirit without walking in your in the spirit of man? How do you separate them? I'm saying there is a union, there's a something here that when we get immersed into the spirit, that spirit is part of it. If that spirit is not immersed in the spirit along with the soul, then what's he doing? Standing on the outside looking in? No, I don't think so. It is a part of our whole system. So We need to be sowing to the spirit part of our life. And we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We have to recognize this thing that God has given us and sow to it. Go after it. But anyway, I'm not an expert. I don't know. I don't know.
So I was listening there, and because the Spirit is mentioned so many times, it's hard, because we're not there yet, to grasp what all the correlation is. And that was what got the whole discussion started. It's like, we started reading in the scripture and we're saying, okay, when it says spirit here, is this the spirit of man or is this the Holy Spirit? Right? Isn't that how we kind of got started? Well, I noticed by reading the little bit that I did, see, because we're not there yet, you have to kind of, it's like when it says it in one area, you got to almost comprehend everything around that to see what the actual spirit of that scripture is. And that has to come from the Holy Spirit. And so, I guess, if we, like here, stand here today and say, yes, we have a spirit, and it has to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way we'll get to know who God is and truth is, then I kind of, at this point, go, then, okay, how much more do I have to know? Do I have to figure anything else out? No. I still need to feed, right?
Yeah.
And so if we say, well, you're not feeding the flesh, if you want to have eternal life, you're feeding your spirit. I think you're feeding the soul a little too, but okay, so let's go on. Let's feed it. You know, it's like, I kind of, because I got to the point, it was like, okay, so we established we have a spirit. Then how entangled do we want to get in all this to try to understand? When all understanding comes from the Spirit of God anyway. You know, it has to, so if it's coming to your spirit, great. You know, it's like, and I had a question when it's Paul says, I will pray in the Spirit. What part of us is saying and making that decision? That's my question. Is it the soul saying, I'm going to pray in the Spirit? I'm going to pray with my spirit? Or is it the Spirit saying, I'm going to pray with my spirit? You know, I mean, that's about the only thing I'm kind of wondering about at this time. Otherwise, I accept the complete thing that we have a spirit. But the whole point is, it still has to be fed by the Holy Spirit. You know? And it still has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. It still has to be in the will of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to, like, I guess at this point, it's a bad word because I don't say, we're not researching, we're trying to just open up ourselves to the Scripture to be given wisdom, you know, and truth. And so I just kind of, at this point, want to lay it before the Lord and let whatever comes, come, you know. Because I know all that I need, all truth that I need has to come from Him anyway. You know, and that's the bottom line. So if we distinguish that it has to come through the Spirit, then it has to come through the Spirit. So how is that going to change you? Are you going to do something different? Are you still going to pray that He gives you truth, that the Holy Spirit teaches you, that the Comforter comes and teaches you? You know, that's my thing. It's so if you establish that, you're still, maybe you'll pray a little differently because you'll pray that your spirit receives, which maybe that'll get us farther into the truth, you know, because we're specifying. But so then pray that and wait for God to give truth. And to enlighten, you know, to shed His light on what we don't know. Now, that's just me, you know. That's not a doctrine or anything else. That's just me saying where I'm at.
Here we go again. in Romans 8, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But even if Christ is in you, and then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of the righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you.
Amen.
We just need the Spirit living in us.
That's right.
That's kind of simple, isn't it? If we have the Spirit, our flesh is going to follow.
Either way, the Word of God coming into our systems is the answer. And you're right. This is probably not a major issue. But from my viewpoint, I think that what we have had and what we have at this point is a church nation system that is so mixed up and messed up that they're trying to get spiritual understanding by through natural means. And God says, or he tells us that he hides things from the wise and the prudent and reveals them to babes. How? Well, he's not doing it intellectually. He's doing it somehow separate from that. And the thing that has kind of got me going is, you know, I have a concordance and I have a King James translation, which may not always be the... What translation were you reading from, Barb?
NIV.
NIV, okay. And anyway, in the King James translation, whenever it's talking about, as far as they're concerned, about anything except the Holy Spirit, it's a small s. And when it's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's a big S. And that's the way it is in the King James, okay? So the thing that got me going here was looking in the concordance at some of these scripture settings that were in the concordance. Not that they know, but they have their Greek word, which I don't understand the Greek, but they'll give the English counterpart to it. And so what you'll see in the King James is, you know, capital, and you'll see in the concordance it's a small s and then a capital S. And the reason is because they're not convinced in the concordance that we're talking about the Holy Spirit in both cases. Do you follow what I'm saying? They're not convinced. Well, anyway, I started seeing that, and there was a separation. And how vital and how important is all this? I don't know. But there's something in me that says it makes a lot of difference to us to understand it. They that understand will instruct many. And there's something in here that I'm desperately wanting God to give me the understanding of. What is this thing? What is the function of this spirit of man that is in me? And why does Paul say, my spirit will go with you? Is he talking about, is he claiming the Holy Spirit is his? Or what's he saying? And some of the things that we read, you know, it's like I'm seeing a part of me that when you walk in the Spirit, can you walk in the Holy Spirit without also walking in that Spirit? I don't think so. There's a relationship that I'm beginning to feel. I don't want to be nutso. I don't want to be goofy in all of this, but there's something that is starting to affect me. Hopefully not goofy wise, you know. And so anyway, we need to, you know, don't listen to a fellow that's off his rocker here, but let's you know, it says that God's will is we should come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that a vital truth? I believe that it is. For the simple sake that, I don't know. I believed a lot of things that weren't right, so.
I'm in the same boat as everybody else here. like a little pebble that is just jumping all over this bouncing thing. The greatest message is, you know, from us to the world or to each other, is to hear the word of the Lord.
Yes, it is.
Period. You know, is that so? And like he says, you know, they that understand will instruct many. And I was thinking about the scripture even before you said it. And so Jesus says, to whom much has been given, much will be required. Which means that some of us will be given a lot. Some of us will be given less. Not because you'll be given less means that you will not enter into the kingdom. But some are given less, some are given more. And when we bring a message or a conversation, that or anything, you know, those that understand will instruct many. And for some, the message of you need to hear the word of the Lord is the true message, but maybe for some people, because not for us, to understand what we're trying to understand our salvation is not hinging. However, it might, somebody else's salvation might be hinging on something that we can bring up from the Lord on the Spirit. Somebody might have a confusion or the wrong understanding on what we're talking about. And if God, through us, might help us clear it up for them, all of a sudden the message of, hey, hear the word of the Lord might mean more, and it might have more power and weight to it. And, you know, so, again, I don't know. I don't think that this, again, I'm repeating, I don't think that our salvation hinges on this understanding, but it might be a jewel for somebody else, you know, because obviously those that understand might instruct many, and God wants us to give us understanding, not only for our benefit, but for other people, for whoever is going to be the instructee, you know.
And maybe it's not as vital as I think. And some of it is prompted because of my experience Wednesday night. And I have been feeling that there's a valuable thing that we need to grasp, but maybe I'm goofy. I don't know.
It is vital, and it is important. I don't know. I wasn't trying to break this. I'm not trying to say anything like that.
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
I do believe it's important, vital.
But what I want to know, I want for my own benefit, I want to know the relationship between my flesh, my soul, and what I think. Is something, a counterpart or a thing that opposes the flesh. But you know the problem with the Spirit? The Spirit does not have its own mind as such or as whatever else. So the spirit of man can also go demonic. And so, but when the Bible says, you know, walk in the Spirit, I'm beginning to believe that we're talking about walk. You can't walk with the Holy Spirit without being walking in that Spirit. And so we have to become aware of it. Maybe we don't. I think we do. I think that we need to be praying and asking God, you know, give us some insight. Because I'm beginning to walk in a realm of a different, of something else. Not evil either. I'm beginning to get to a place where I am able to sort out thoughts before they come. I've never been there. So when it says in 2 Corinthians, it says to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I didn't know we could do that. You'd be surprised at how many times in the last few months that I could see the thought coming before it ever got near me. And I say, I don't want that thought. I don't want to think that thought. What's happening? Something's happening to all of us. We're becoming changed. We're becoming something else. You know, the Bible says, and those that are in Christ are new creatures, creations, new things. Something God is doing, a new thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the way it is worded. And so, what is happening? How are these thoughts being caught ahead of time? Let me give you an idea of what I think. I think that my spirit is helping. I don't have the ability. Could our spirits help us like that? They're helpers. And I think when the Bible says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, I'm not so sure that it's, or maybe I already said that, I'm not so sure that we're talking about just the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a realm that opposes the flesh, that is becoming part of us. But anyway, and God bless you. I'm sorry to get us into things like this, but it probably won't be the last time. And
I don't think so.
But anyway, God bless you. Love you. Any other additions, subtractions, or anything? Let's come up to the front.